welcome to Real Living. This is Lavinia Spirito with Mary Lou Nemecek, and we are continuing
recreating
to revisit the trip that we took to the Holy Land this past November with 41 of our nearest and dearest friends.
Yes.
They are now anyway.
Yes, they are.
Even though we didn't know some of them when we took off. It's funny how a trip like that will just bind you.
It's, yes, and people that you never would have known otherwise.
I know.
And we had that common denominator of these people were so anxious to see the Holy Land.
Mm-hmm.
And I think for us, since only you and I had been there before,
mm-hmm.
it was truly a gift to see how mm-hmm. people, mm-hmm. you know, reacted to all mm-hmm. the different sites and how they were moved in mm-hmm. so many different ways and mm-hmm. at different times, at different sites, that it was really remarkable. And for me, it just validated everything, you know, to go back again and know that everything was still there the same way,
mm-hmm.
still as holy as when I left mm-hmm. it the last time.
Oh, and it was a gift.
Oh, yeah.
Just to experience, you know, I told you I got there a couple places and people were crying and I'm like, what the heck is wrong with you all? And I'd forgotten, you know, when you go there the first time and you say, holy cow, we're having Mass on Mount Calvary, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah, exactly.
How it just, the atmosphere. Just
there are conversions, there are miracles, there are things that we won't even find out about
mm-hmm.
that will have taken place. Mm-hmm. And all the prayers that are lifted up mm-hmm. for different people and situations, it's just such a blessing.
It is. So we left off in Capernaum. I think the last time we brought you from the airport through Caesarea Maritima to Tiberias, our hotel, and then the next day we got up and we went to Capernaum, which, as you know, is the headquarters of Jesus's Galilean ministry at the time. And interesting to see the positioning of all these places. You know, once you drive there and you see how long it takes to get from Nazareth to Capernaum, which, you know, for us was half an hour bus drive, 45-minute bus drive, but at the time it would have been a day's walk, perhaps,
right.
You know. So you have all that kind of stuff to consider. Capernaum, of course, was the headquarters of Jesus's ministry. It was also where Peter, or Kepha, or Simon, known at the time Simon, was from. Actually, people think that they think he may have been from Bethsaida, but that his house was in Capernaum, and that how do we know that? Because his mother-in-law.
They
lives
call it his
there.
Mother-in-law's house, yeah.
So we know, like Peter, like most of the apostles, like most of the Jewish men of the first century, was probably married. We know he was married because he had a mother-in-law. So we do know that these people really sacrificed quite a bit when you think about what it all entailed for them to follow the Lord when they had families and probably children and businesses, when you think about fishing consortiums on the
exactly.
Lake of Galilee, etc. So Capernaum, we visited the remains of the 4th century synagogue, which was built right on top of the 1st century synagogue, which would have been the synagogue that Jesus visited and the synagogue in which he performed his miracles, in which he preached the word. I mean,
right.
What an amazing place, right?
Exactly.
I think it's exiting that synagogue that the centurion's servant comes to him and says, and the centurion himself actually comes and says, look, you know, my servant is dying, but I know as a man under authority that you only have to say the word and my servant will be healed. And of course, the words of the centurion are then the words that we say at Mass right before receiving the Eucharist. Lord, I'm not worthy to receive you. I'm not worthy that you should come under the roof of my house. However, just say the word at a distance, and my soul shall be healed. What an amazing place to behold.
His word is enough. What faith did that take?
His word is enough from whatever distance.
Exactly.
Because if we thought that Capernaum to the house of the centurion was far, imagine what we think about Jesus in heaven to us.
Exactly.
You know, we think in earthly terms, but in fact, the kingdom of heaven is amongst us and the Lord is with us and he's not far at all.
That's right. And you really do feel his presence at these mm-hmm. different sites.
That's right.
And, you know, at Capernaum, they have this glass structure, whatever, over the house. Mm-hmm. So you can look at the
house
ruins.
Of who?
Well, this would be the house of Peter's mother-in-law.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a church that's built over it. Mm-hmm. So we had Mass at that church. And it's mm-hmm. so moving because you can look around, you can look down at the ruins, you can look out the windows and you see the ruins of the synagogue
mm-hmm.
and of the town. And there's, you know, many, many things to walk around there and see. And it just, it moves you because it just validates the fact that this is not a fairy tale, that these places existed, that this is where Jesus walked, this is where he visited. He looked out at this sky. He looked out at this scenery. And it's just so amazing, a place to visit, because it's one of the rare places where you do see a lot of we're back to 4th century ruins, mm-hmm. which is typically as far back
right,
as
I'm
we go.
Right, I'm looking at the pictures of my phone, and you see the ceiling. Not the ceiling. Well, I suppose it's the ceiling of Peter's house, but it's the floor of the church.
Right.
And it's transparent with just some struts.
Right.
And you can see the first century structure right below.
And this was quite a city in its time.
It was a major thoroughfare. And so, of course, we had mass over the house of Peter, which was pretty phenomenal. But another thing I wanted to mention about the synagogue in Capernaum was we saw it was called the White Synagogue, and it was built upon the remains of the synagogue of Jesus. But it has these fascinating elements, like we saw the Corinthian capitals that it's like today almost, like you want to retrofit a religious element to put in, to make the Hellenistic-looking synagogue look okay, quote-unquote. Mm-hmm. And so what do? There's these fascinating pictures of, I'm looking right now, of a Corinthian capital with a menorah stuck on top. But it's like an afterthought. Like,
well, the Ark of the Covenant
on
one of them, too.
And it's like, oh, wait a minute, click, you know, let's put that on there. Make this more religious. And then there's like a structure containing what the outside of what contained the Ark of the Covenant would have been on this engraving. And so it was interesting to see that. Plus, then you see the Star of David that's present on the wall of the synagogue. So it was, and it's pretty, you know, there's fair amounts of structure that's still left of the synagogue itself.
And I think there's a ram's horn, too, on one of them.
Mm-hmm, a shofar, right. And it was really, because it's obviously missing its roof, and it's the 4th century synagogue over, of course, the 1st century synagogue. But it was really cool. We also went that first day to Cana, remember, to Cana? Mm-hmm. And the couples, we had 7 or 8 couples with us, and they all renewed their marriage vows, which was kind of cool. I remember doing that when I was there with my husband last time. And then we went to the Church of the Beatitudes, which was another pretty phenomenal place. And
another high on the hill.
Yes.
Location.
Absolutely. And then we went, I'm trying to review all the things that we did because I'm looking at my photos. I love the picture of Father Chris and Deacon Phil in the church.
At Capernaum.
At the mother over the house of Peter. That was truly amazing. And we got to, you know, we got to pray Mass on all these sites, which was really cool.
The Church of the Beatitudes, you can look down and see the Sea of Galilee, and it's a sloping hill that goes down, and the acoustics and everything, you can see where Jesus would have been there speaking with people, and they would have been able to hear him and how they would have gathered around.
Mm-hmm.
It's, again, this is one of those churches that was probably built in, what, the 20s, again, by that Barluzzi.
Barluzzi or the other, there was a couple other
I think it was Barluzzi that built that church.
So, but also in the same day in Nazareth, we saw, of course, the Church of All Nations, which we spoke about last time, the Church of the Annunciation. But we also saw the complex of St. Joseph. Remember the whole thing that was built over the structure of a first century Palestinian home?
Mm-hmm.
So you would have had, which was basically mostly a cave.
Mm-hmm.
It had the steps going into the dwelling and no windows, and it's underneath the Church of St. Joseph. So that was really cool, I must say. So that first day, obviously, we covered a lot of ground. You know, there was obviously a lot of ground to be covered. We did the Transfiguration. We told you about that last time. We did, of course, Nazareth, and we did St. Joseph's Workshop, and we did Mary's Well. We did Capernaum. And the day that we did Capernaum, we went to Caesarea Philippi. Now, Caesarea Philippi is always a treat because it's basically the place where Jesus told Peter, and I tell you, Peter, that you are rock, and on this rock I will build my church. And that was just really interesting. We got to spend a lot of time that time.
Climbing all over the place there.
Even more, I think, than we spent last time. And, you know, when I talk about this, I always say, hey, guys, do you know about this place where Jesus told Peter, behold, you are rock, and on this rock I will build my church. And when you drive up there, you see, you turn around the bend, and all of a sudden you see this ginormous rock, which must be around 100 feet long, 60 feet wide, reddish and black. And it's this huge rocky outcropping in the base of which there was a well, a very, very deep well. The water has since been diverted. It's no longer there.
Because of an earthquake, I think, is what happened.
Apparently 749 or 649, there was a huge earthquake that kind of really changed the geography of the Holy Land and of Jordan as well. But as far as we know, at this place called Caesarea Philippi, but also known as the sanctuary of the god Pan, there was this well where they would throw human sacrifice, and there were certain indications. Now I forgot if its blood came up or blood didn't come up, whether to indicate whether the human sacrifice had been accepted or not. But so it was considered one of the gates of the underworld because it was a deep place in which you could access the other side. So when Jesus says to Peter, "You are rocking on this church rock, I will build my church, and the gates of the underworld will not prevail against it." I mean, we got some real context here.
Exactly.
We're standing in front of what one of the ancients thought was the gate of the underworld. And we know that no matter how imposing this place might be, how built up and how, you know, might look like a temple, it is only a gate of the underworld. And the rock upon which Jesus builds his church will always prevail. We'll be right back.
You are listening to Breadbox Media Podcast. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app, change the world.
Welcome back to Real Living. This is Lavinia Spirito with Marianela Michek, and we are... I keep laughing because I'm looking at our
looking
pictures.
At all of our pictures.
In you and me and Judy Paternostro.
You have to send me those pictures.
You didn't get them?
No.
Oh, anyway,
send them to me.
We're at Banias. We're at Caesarea Philippi. We're at the Shrine of the Ancient World, dedicated to the god Pan. There's a number of niches in which statues stood. Of course, the statues are gone, so you can stand in a niche and get your picture taken. So the three of us stand there, and whoever took the picture said, "Act silly." Well, you know, you didn't have to tell us twice.
Exactly.
We have several pictures of us
in this big niche,
trying to act silly, which, like I said, comes naturally. And then the whole group, it looks like, pretty much fit into the group as well, into the niche as well. Anyway, the niche is contained, and we have other, places where obviously they contain busts. It's a pretty large place. There's a lot of real estate to cover when you go there. But the main point is it's one of the ancient gates of the underworld.
And that's kind of up in the Golan Heights, too.
Yes, it's on the way up to the Golan Heights.
Right.
Last time we were able to complete and to go all the way up the road into the Golan Heights to pass one of the Israeli military installations and to have a bird's eye view up high of Syria and Lebanon and Jordan. So three or four nations sort of converging in one spot. But we didn't have time this time, and that's fine. After that, of course, they tortured us with the St. Peter's Fish restaurant.
Oh, yes.
Where they bring you this whole fish.
You know, Do you want the head on or not?
I remember it being a whole lot worse because apparently the people who had, so this time I didn't get it because I was like, this is a joke. I mean, seriously, there's like two bites on this thing. And it said most people who got there said it was really good.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. They picked away at it.
And they got the meat out of it, you know. After that, of course, we went the same day to Tabgha, which is the Church of the Multiplication of the Loaves. And that was also quite moving, like all these places where last time I went, I was like, oh, yeah, this is the Church of Multiplication. That's cool. There's a rock underneath the altar where Jesus, in or around where he stood, right? So we, you know, of course, we prayed all the mysteries in the various places, and we admired the mosaics, the symbol of the peacock, the symbol of eternal life.
Well, the symbol of the peacock was at the Church of the Trans...
Also at Tabgha.
That's right, because they were on the floor. That's right.
From Tabgha. Right.
But the interesting story about the peacocks is that they signify eternal life because when peacocks die and they're buried, their bodies don't break down for several years. So that was kind of a sign of eternal life.
Right, as opposed to a sign of God knows what's in them and you should never eat them.
And they're kind of mean birds.
I mean, seriously. But and then there's the famous mosaic in the Church of Tabgha of the two fish and then the basket with the bread. I've posted a lot of these pictures on our Facebook page, Catholic Way Bible Study Facebook page, day by day. And so you'll be able to participate along with what we're saying.
Now, there is a church there, and not this time, but the last time we were there, we did have Mass
at
that church. But in the courtyard, they were saying that there had been someone had set a fire, and there was some damage done to the courtyard, but there's an olive tree there that goes back thousands of years. And that survived.
That's right. I did. I remember I took a picture because I lit a candle in front of the two icons in the church. And so, you know, every place was just so moving because, you know, especially when you light a candle, I don't know about you, when you light a candle, it's like all of a sudden all your prayers come to a head.
Exactly.
And you're like putting that candle in there and like you're choking up and you're going, what the heck is wrong with me? Why am I choking up? Well, because it's like it's all distilled in prayer in like desperate cry form. Oh, Lord, please take care of click,
this.
You know.
Yeah.
And so, you know, that was, it was pretty amazing. And then this church right here with the, remember with
the heart-shaped rocks.
Remember which one that was?
That's Primacy of Peter.
The church of the Primacy of Peter. And then the Mensa Christi. This is where he, the multiplication of the loaves, too.
That's where... they suggested that we go and collect a rock to take back with us.
And people did.
People,
you know,
did.
When people tell me to go and take rocks, I'm like, no, thank you. I think I'll pass because then I get home and then I have what? A rock. And then I forget where I got the rock. You know, I've done that a couple of times. And after that, I'm like, I'm not doing this again.
But someone on the trip collects rocks. And so that was quite an interesting treat to go and find just the right one. But remember, someone collected a rock and then looked at it and had a name on it of her daughter. Remember?
That's right. We did. Her daughter was really heavy on her heart. She picked up a rock. And lo and behold, the name of her daughter was inscribed
on
there.
Was on this rock,
I know. That was pretty amazing. While we're at it, we should say one of our people, Margie, lost her cell phone in outside the bathrooms at Caesarea Philippi, rushing to get to the bus. And it just slid off her wrist. And so the whole bus is praying to St. Anthony. And so what happens, her husband, Bruce's phone rings, and it's a guy calling from Caesarea Philippi saying, now we're praying to St. Anthony, mind you. And the guy says, hi, this is Tony. This is Tony, and I have your phone. And what are the odds of losing your phone outside the bathroom in a public place in the middle of nowhere?
Actually, he called her phone number because her phone would have been locked. But the guy answers and says, hi, this is Tony. I've got the phone.
That's right.
Yeah.
And so and she got the phone.
Yeah. They brought it to Jerusalem.
Pretty amazing. Now, the next thing that we did is we went to Bethlehem to patronize a certain establishment owned by Catholic Palestinians in order to support them and to buy their stuff, even though it was a little bit more expensive. Apparently, the workmanship makes up for it. I don't know. I didn't buy anything there. But the interesting thing there was that several of the people there sang to us the Our Father in Aramaic, which is how Jesus probably would have taught it to the disciples. Now, here they're singing to it. Let's see if it comes through. That was just a taste of it. I thought it was so evocative. I hope that came through. That was just a glimpse into another world.
It is. It
you
is.
You know, because that is the language of Jesus.
Right. And not too many people speak that language, I don't think,
I know.
Anymore.
And
everybody
that's why
speaks.
It was pretty cool.
Yeah. Arabic and Hebrew, but...
I know. And that just
in English.
That throwback to Aramaic was pretty cool. From there, we went to the Milk Grotto at your request,
remember? Yes, but the priest wasn't there to give the little story, but I love that place.
Tradition has it the church is built over the grotto where the Holy Family took refuge during the slaughter of the innocents before the flight to Egypt. The Virgin Mary was nursing baby Jesus. A drop of milk fell on the chalky rock, changing its color to pure white. The original church was built during the 5th century by St. Paula, who lived in Bethlehem. Now, remember, who's St. Paula? I was fascinated by this whole thing. Remember?
St. Paula?
Oh, come on. St. Paula is a Roman noblewoman who used to correspond with St. Jerome. What was Jerome doing? He's in a cave in Bethlehem translating
right.
the scriptures into
That's
Latin.
That's right. Yep.
So Paula is a Roman noblewoman who, when her husband dies, decides to join Jerome in Bethlehem. Mm-hmm. And Jerome establishes a male community, and she establishes a female community. Mm-hmm. And when you go down there in the crypt, we actually went to one of the churches, there is the side of the men and the side of the women, and then there's their names of the first people who joined them actually engraved on the pillars mm-hmm. of the church, mm-hmm. which I thought was really cool, you know? So, and like everything else, the site is managed by the Franciscans. But the facade of the church I thought was beautiful. Again, we don't know how far it goes up to. Then after that, of course, we went to the Church of the Nativity, which unfortunately was scaffolded because of renovations.
It is being renovated. You can kind of peek around the corners and see some of the old icons, some of the pillars that go way, way back. That little side door where it's very narrow and you had to kind of go under and in because that would keep the people on horseback from coming in and tearing up the church. All that part was closed off. However, you still got a taste of it. It's a very, very ancient church. And the icons there are absolutely fabulous.
They are.
The sad thing is that it's such a busy place
yeah.
that you're kind of shuffled in
yeah.
down to where Jesus was born because you go down to a lower level.
Yeah.
And there's a star, and it's under an altar, and you can touch and kiss the star. And then you can turn, and you go down a little bit further, and that's where the manger was supposed to have mm-hmm. been placed. So it's hard to really spend time there in meditation.
Right.
However, again, it is the place where it is marked. It is the place where it is remembered. It is truly one of
the most ancient places, really, of the holy places. And the reason that the church, the original church of the Nativity, was not destroyed was that the Persians came in the 6th century and saw the frescoes and the mosaics on the wall of the Church of the Nativity representing the Magi. Mm-hmm. And they said,
wise men.
These people are Persian.
These are my people.
These are our people. So we're not going to destroy this church,
right.
which I thought was a fascinating right. story, right? So, and then there, remember, because it is Christmas always at the Church of the Nativity, we got to sing a Christmas carol.
Yes, we did.
In the crypt.
And then attached to the church is the church where you see the Mass at midnight.
That's right.
It's a newer structure right next door.
It was pretty amazing. We hope when we go back that it'll be a little bit more restructured. So we've got you as far as the Church of Nativity in Bethlehem, and we will pick up next time. Thank you for joining us.